Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey, Dude, the 90s called podcast. I am David.
Hi, David. David Lasher. I'm Christine. How are
you? What's up? So good to see you, always.
So good to see you. I did want to ask you something, because I just got my second shingles shot. Okay.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Do you know about shingles?
I do. My first one, but okay. True to my character, I didn't follow up with second one.
So you have to, but how far, when did you get the first one?
It was over the summer.
Same. So you're still within the, you should get your second one then, because I think you're fine.
Know. It made me a little.
That's what I was going to say. The first one made me sick. Nobody warned me. I felt like I had kind of the flu for a day. I did it over the summer. And I got my second one 2 days ago, and they said, this one will probably be worse. And I said, well, I've actually heard the opposite. I've heard the second one is better. And they said, no, the first like 24, 48 hours, you might feel a little. The first 24 hours, I felt fine. But then last night, I started just like achy, leg aches and ugh. But that now I'm fine today. So I'm done. I'm done with my arm. That's my point, is the shot in the arm, it still kills. Like, it's really hurts.
But it must be better than getting shingles.
Yes.
I don't know anyone that's had,
you know,
shingles.
The reason I even got it, first of all, my mom kept bugging me about it because she did hers. But, you know, but she said, you should get a shingle shot. You're over 50. But during Severance, the end of the first season, one of the actors got shingles. And she's young. Like, she's in her late 20s, 30s, and she got shingles. They had to shut down production. So
I didn't know people in their 20s or 30s got shingles.
I think if you got the chicken pox, or if you didn't get vaccinated for the chicken pox, you can get it. You know, we're just
it's
of
a
the
rash,
generation.
Right? It comes out
can,
as
a, it can come out as like hives, rash, fevery. I got Did you get the chicken pox when you were a kid? I did.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah. But like our kids never got it because they had a vaccination.
They had the vaccine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is so a fun conversation.
Isn't this great? Don't you love when old people talk about their health?
By the way, thank you for the beautiful wreath.
You're so welcome.
In our entryway, and it smells so beautiful. Doesn't it? Just makes our house festive. Yeah.
It smells so nice. I know. That's my favorite gift to give, just because not everybody does Christmas. We do Christmas and Hanukkah. So we do have a Christmas tree, but not many people do. But a wreath, you can just get the scent. You can get the fresh pine scent.
I know. It arrives like a fresh, freshly mowed lawn. It smells
like eucalyptus, so, and it's really nice.
I love it. Thank you and Ben so much.
You're so welcome. All right. Our guest today, we both know this amazing guy from forever ago. Should we just bring him in?
The entourage, the one.
The one and only?
The only.
Kevin Connolly.
Hello, how are you guys?
Kevin Connolly, thank you for being here, man.
Oh my God.
You guys look the same.
You do too, by the way.
It's ridiculous. You have not aged in 20 years.
The craziest story, which I was just thinking about before, because I've known both of you forever.
Right.
David a little longer, but Kevin very soon after we finished Hey Dude, Kevin and I became fast friends. But I remember, David, we were shooting, I don't know what season it was. I borrowed our makeup artist's car. She had a stick shift and she was teaching me how to drive Annie. And I drove myself to the movie theater to see Rocky V.
Really? Rocky V. That's going way back. I mean, that is, yeah.
That's you.
That is 1990. Yeah. That was my first movie. Yeah.
Is that the Tommy Gunn Rocky?
The Tommy Gunn one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh my God, considered the worst Rocky ever made, but in the nostalgia world, it's sort of aged.
Right.
Well.
It's so bad it's that fun it's to now, watch now it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Kevin, that's why when we all did a Zoom like during the pandemic for my brother's birthday. Remember with the mentalist?
Were we doing magic tricks? Oh,
we're not doing that. We did a mentalist trick. Birthday right. for my brother, and my son Quinn was on the Zoom, and he goes, "Is that Kevin Connolly from Rocky V?" Because he, of course, like went back as a child, and like he's seen every Rocky movie, and you look exactly the same. I know you were a little.
I love that Quinn recognized Kevin from Rocky V.
Yeah,
is that Kevin Connolly from Rocky?
Better than the Beverly Hillbillies. I guess I would prefer Rocky V over the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh my gosh. It's so good to see you, man.
Christine, we go way back too. Kev, I want to say we had David Faustino on the show a while back talking about Ron Levitt and how much he loved him. And I just wanted to tell a story that you and I did a pilot called How High?
94.
Right. About, I don't know, like a stoner, like a
stoner
high school.
It was about a high school, right? Like where everybody was stoned. It was a little ahead of its time, a little ahead of its racing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I played best friends. And I think Denise Richards was in it. We had Jamie Kennedy on the show also, who said it was his first job. He was shuffling around he was the stoner.
He was like one of the main stoners. He basically shuffled in and out of the set. Yeah. That was one of my first times in front of a live audience too. I was not a fan. It took me a second to get used to.
Yeah, that show was good. I remember though, this is the story. Ron called me and said, we got picked up for 7 episodes. I'm like, great. And he goes, I told them to go fuck themselves. And I was like, why would you do that? He's like, I made the Fox network. How dare they give me 7 episodes? And I'm like, Ron, you already have your Married with Children money. Like the rest of us don't. And he goes, fuck them. And
that was the story that I had heard is that, you know, you do the dress rehearsal, you do a 5 o'clock show and then, or 5:30 and 8 o'clock for the audience, for the pilot. Apparently between shows, Ron had told some executive to, I believe he said, suck my dick or something ridiculous like that. So we were dead before we recorded the second show.
Oh my gosh.
And then they tried to work it out. But yeah, Ron, who was a great guy, but he felt like he deserved a no questions asked second shot since he made the network. But it's just not that way, right? Even for guys like Ron. But he was the best guy I ever worked for in my entire life. The best.
Yeah. Well, then you did a show with him, Unhappily Ever After.
Unhappily Ever After.
For years with Bob Gavin. Yeah.
Christine, you had a front row seat for that one, right? Or
really?
Towards the tail end of it?
Yes. I mean, that was like the period. So what years was that? Because I was like the
it's
whole
taken real, us into 99, 98, right. 99 was
late
the end
90s.
Of it.
Yes,
when,
late 90s.
The Bobcat incident. The Bobcat incident.
Wait, the Nikki and Bobcat. Yes.
Yeah, Nikki and Bobcat. Nikki Cox and Bobcat. Go with the Nikki and I were dead. I was like heartbroken. I was like my first time ever. Where you wait, think you're gonna die?
First love. First love. Yeah, yeah. Kevin's
wait,
girlfriend.
Can you explain for our listeners that the story? The
okay,
Bobcat.
So, you know, where to begin? Where to begin? All right. Well, it was a talking. Right. It was a puppet show. Right. I mean, like it was. It was the father was God. He lives in the basement, and he starts talking to this puppet. And Bobcat Goldthwait was the voice of the puppet. So, and Nikki Cox, who played my sister, her and I started dating. But between season 4 and 5, and this is what the craziest thing is: like it was like a couple days before the table reading for season 5, and I'll say it. Jeremy London called me and said, "Kevin, get in your car." And because I had lived on Stern in the Valley, there was a 7-Eleven on the corner. He said, get in your car, drive down to 7-Eleven and open the National Enquirer. This is how far this is going back. Get in the car, drive up the street. I'm like, I'm not in my stomach. Starts ripping through the Enquirer. And there's a picture of Bobcat and Nikki dating. And then the next day, or like 2 days later, I had to go to that table reading. And we had to just gut out 24 weeks of misery. But that was right around when I met Christine and Brian and I started hanging with that whole crew. So they were there for, dyed my hair blonde,
It was a crisis. You went through a bit of a crisis.
Crisis.
We all have.
A crisis. Yeah.
It's also, there's nothing worse than for you to find something like that out publicly is horrendous. Horrendous, right?
God.
And a guy you're working with.
Yeah, right. No, that's
even worse. And not only that, and Bobcat Goldthwait to really, if you really want to pile on the bad things. But I remember my mom would said to me, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, would it have been easier if it was Brad Pitt? And I was like, I don't know. It's a very, very, very good question. I don't think it would be great. I don't think it would be great, but.
But you'd understand.
Yeah, or I don't know how I'd feel about it. Honestly, either way, it was pretty awful. Terrible. But yeah, I was gutted. I mean, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. It was one of those jobs. So, but her and I have, stayed in touch, actually, over the years. We catch up once in a while. So not much has changed there.
Well, David, I was saying, because I knew you and Kevin went back, but when I texted Kevin about coming on, because I just said, you're going to get, I'm sorry, you just have to do this for me. And he said, anything for you, Christine. But I said, the reason is because, I mean, I don't know how many guests we have had on where your name comes up.
In some form of the story.
Jamie, right. We had Soleil on a couple weeks ago. Your name came, like, you are so threaded through the 90s, through so many different circles and friend groups.
I had a pretty good role in Kid 90s on Hulu.
You sure did, role. My friend.
By the way, thank God they cut what they cut. I was like watching it, biting my nails, watching that thing. It was
that movie was amazing. Soleil did such a great job. I only watched it for the first time the night before our interview, but I was so proud of her. I mean, really unbelievable document of that time period.
I know. For me, it was almost hard to watch.
Was it?
Yeah, it just just feels like, yeah, that part of it, just, it feels like a lifetime ago, right? But,
Brings up so much.
Yeah, I was never, I was uncomfortable, not in a bad way, but like, it was very, very, very nostalgic. Because there's a lot of people that are on there that, you might not even know by name, but that we were friends with that either passed away. So it was just to see that video footage kind of cleaned up and organized. Was it wasn't as easy for me to watch as I thought it would be.
No, I bet. I felt like, you know, having known so many of you in it, and I always felt like, you know, I'd met Soleil over the years, but I was like one step removed from that right. world, but knew right. everybody, knew, you know, right. would see people in passing. So I could,
you're
I could
in parallel clicks.
Yes, it was very parallel. Like I remember the nights where people are like, oh no, we're going to Soleil's. So we're right. doing, you know, like right. it was that kind of thing. But I could watch it more as a bystander, but you right. were, you lived it. You lived it.
Right. And
it,
you weren't on mushrooms driving through a daisy forest of Soleil.
I was going to say, you not only lived it, we survived it. Like yeah, I saw, you know, when I saw Balti talking and, you know, he and I went to hell and back during White Squall and David as well, talking about how close everyone came to like complete disaster. But
he really landed on his feet, Baltazar, didn't he?
I know.
I mean, it's amazing, yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already yeah. see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it. Sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christine, let's go back. Ask him how he started acting.
Kevin, let's go back.
Let's go back.
Long Island boy.
Yeah, exactly. New York boy. By the way, in my brain, I still remember, because you would bring it as a joke to parties, your composite headshot, the four shot.
Oh, yeah, there are, you gotta have
no
like,
one
the nerd
is more classic than yours.
Right, you gotta have like fumbling books. Right, and then, like,
the baseball.
Right, you got to hold the baseball bat and the hat. What was the other? Then there was like your cool like leather jacket. By the way, my fourth thing was one where I'm fumbling books. The other one was me with my hair
like Danny Zuko or something. Haircut.
And like a leather jacket, a black leather jacket. And that's like my street look. It's so ridiculous.
That's your edge. I've shared that. I know. In the day when I tried to look edgy, I would wear like a jean jacket with the collar up. And that was my idea of edgy.
Gotta be edgy. You know, Christine, it's funny you talk about Rocky V, but my mom was not a stage mom. She wouldn't. But for whatever reason, when I read for Rocky V, she was hellbent on me wearing this jacket to this audition. Now I'm 14. I'm not 6 anymore, right?
Right.
I'm like, it's never going to happen. Her and I are literally standing, we're screaming at each other in the car. And I go, you know what? I put the jacket on. I wear the jacket. And it's a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous leather jacket. It's like 10 years too late, which is what I was trying to tell her.
But dude,
it's so far out of style. So
listen,
I go, where am I? Do the audition with this ridiculous jacket on. Get the movie. And then when we're at some point, we're on set and the producer said to me, man, when you walked in there with that leather jacket, everybody else should have just walked out and went home.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
It's like, nothing to do with my reading. Nothing to do with my killer reading.
Oh, God. But so that was a big movie. That was your first movie?
Yeah, it was a movie, you know. You know, it's a big deal. Like, at the time, honestly, how about this? I've told people this. Whatever else I've done internally, that was the closest feeling to a career euphoria that I ever felt.
Right.
I know that sounds weird and random, but it's true. Like when I knew that I got that job, it was just like enormous, because I'd been doing commercials for so many years. And now it's like a Rocky movie. You know, I had like the secret script.
Oh my
God.
Like
nobody
was
allowed to see. It was a very, very, very big deal at the time.
As a first role, I mean, my son, who's now 18, knows every line to every Rocky movie.
Crazy.
I'm not kidding. Like they live on. And yeah, what an iconic first role. It must have been crazy to get that as your first movie.
Did you get that? You auditioned for that in New York?
Yeah, auditioned in New York. But we shot in Philly.
Philly,
right. Shot in Philly. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, wow. All right. So you do that movie. You're 14. You're in high school.
Right. But I'd done a bunch of commercials before that. Honestly, that was like my main thing, because I was always afraid. We never wanted to move to California. I was never going to, in eighth grade, we were not moving the family to California. Right. So it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I started reading for things that could take me away long term. So, you know, school was not my thing, obviously. So when I was a senior, I happened to do a pilot that got a 13 episode order. I'm like, oh, I wish they were all that easy, right? But so I moved out here with like a 13 episode, and it started in like August. So when all of my friends went to college, I moved out here.
Oh my God. That's kind of like our Hey Dude.
Yeah. We have similar stories, right? I mean,
people say, where'd you go to college? I say Jerry's Deli.
Jerry's late night. Yeah.
Pretty much where I spent my college years.
Which is no longer.
I know.
Which
it's something
so
else.
Sad. That is so sad to me. That felt like it would be there forever.
It should be protected by the city.
Literally.
It should be a historical landmark.
100%.
But
100%.
Yeah.
And then I ended up out here. And then there's that weird time in your life where you're like not old enough to get into kind of bars. And, you know, it's a weird time for a young person
to be on your own and roaming the street. I mean, you look at that now. Like, if, like, those are things that I think about that with my daughter. My daughter's 21 now. And if she said to me, I'm moving to LA, of course, she's a full fledged adult, but I would make sure.
It's just hard to wrap your head around.
No, how we did it, I have no idea. I think ignorance, like my parents' ignorance, and like we were all just a little bit wide eyed of like, yeah. And I had roommates that sort of fell into place. So it wasn't like I ever had to look for a place to live. There was always like a person that I could move in with. But what a, like, we were.
Well, it's funny, Christine, because you know what? Ignorance. It sounds bad, but it's kind of the right word, right?
Yeah.
I've often said, if I knew then what I ended up learning now, I more than likely wouldn't have done it. So the only thing that got me out here was ignorance. And like,
blissful ignorance, right?
Going to Hollywood. What's the problem?
That's not the beauty of being young.
Right.
It's so true. It's so true.
Listen, we partied hard. Kevin, I actually just went to Pantera Sara's 50th birthday on Saturday.
I couldn't make it. How was that? Was that a blast from the past or what?
It was great. My wife and I don't go to clubs, but I had some friends that were going to be there. So we're like, all right, we're going.
It wasn't really a club, right? It was like bar loungy club. Right?
Yeah, loungy. It was called Pop on La Cienega, but it was right near like where the gate was and like where we used to, and those were the heydays of the 90s. We would go out and it was like a time warp. But
the other thing too, and again, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, and the social media aspect of it was, we just didn't do that. You went
non-existent
to the club and you hung out and you weren't worried about TikTok and who was following you. It was just a, of course we sound like our parents when we say this, but it was a better time or certainly a less complicated time. How some of these kids, I can say that kids, because I'll be 50 in a couple months, how some of these kids navigated, they're stronger than I could have ever been with the microscope and all the pressure that comes along with, forget about the career part of it. Now throw the social, I don't think I would have lasted 5 seconds.
So yeah, there's traps everywhere.
People are a little hard on these kids that have a lot on their plate. What a responsibility to have 100 million followers. That with that comes responsibility. I would never want any of that. I couldn't have been trusted with that.
Or if you're an up and coming actor and you make one wrong move or say one wrong thing, it's like you could blow yourself up.
Nuts.
I remember the movie, which I watched with my wife and my daughter the other day, The Notebook. Right. And that's the first time after we had worked together where I was like, wow, this, and the movie holds up and it's such a classic. How did that movie come about for you?
Well, I had done John Q with Nick Cassavetes. And he and I had hit it off. And when we were very friendly, the ironic thing about The Notebook is, hindsight is 20/20, but at the time, nobody knew who Ryan Gosling was.
Right.
Nobody knew who Rachel McAdams was. I mean, credit where credit is due to Nick. He went out and he somehow managed to get that movie greenlit with two unknowns as the leads, and a lot of people had taken a crack at that. Spielberg had that for a while. Like big directors just didn't feel like they could crack it. And Nick got it going and he knocked it out of the park. For me, it was great because I also was the second unit, little known fact, I was the second unit director of The Notebook.
I know this.
What?
I know this.
You know this?
Well, I know, of course.
Yeah, have you ever directed before?
Yeah, I'd done some stuff. I'd done a short film that got at Sundance and I was out there. They needed somebody, but the title sequence in the beginning, where the dudes rowing the boat and all the ducks. I shot all that stuff on The Notebook. Yeah. So
that's great.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing to be out there. And, it's different. It's a studio movie. It's not like, all right, did that seem like it was a focus? Because we got to move. All right. It was like, oh, no, we'll stay here till we get it. Let's do another one. So it was nice to work kind of inside that system.
This is the reason I know that, Kevin, and this is a little perfect segue into the world. So little known fact, Kevin, me, my brother, Ben, Matt Levin, our friend Matt.
Matt Levin, David Pressman.
We started making like home movies. This all came from like late nights out. We'd come home. Nobody wanted the night to end. And we were like, let's make a movie about this. And we would just take the video camera. Right. And we started one late night and we titled it Budget Zero Productions because it started out with zero dollars. Right. It started out with $0. And right. So we made one with Ben and Kevin, my brother, who's not an actor, but we would always put him in starring roles in it. And then we made a surprise one for Ben. And that was when we used Nick's office, Nick Cassavetti's office that Kevin directed.
Right. Well, we started one late night. We made a rather ridiculous movie, which is around somewhere.
Obviously. I gotta see it.
Yeah.
Surprise! And, surprise!
Yeah, surprise!
It's sort of a silent.
I did
a lot of the music editing. And
Brian's the star of this.
This was sort of maybe an ensemble piece.
It was, but honestly, like at a certain point, everybody just. There was a certain how I dare say it got taken a little bit seriously to where even the 6 o'clock in the morning when everybody had way too much to drink, where I think Ben just told us to stay on our mark.
Ben is like,
well, if we're gonna do it. We're going to do it.
We had to go back for reshoots on it. We had to do some additional photography. Hilarious. And
so we had a great experience. And then we said, Christine says, hey, Christine, was it Ben's birthday?
It was Ben's birthday. Yeah. But I think Ben's also had shot one for me first, Kuminator, which was a surprise for my birthday.
No, that was when that came after. Okay. So we're at budget zero. So now it's Ben's birthday and Christine says, we want to do a surprise movie for Ben, get all the same actors back together, come up with a completely new script idea. But we actually went out like sober during the day and like shot this.
Yeah, it was a real thing.
Right. Actually spent some
Kevin
time.
Kevin directed it. Total a surprise for Ben.
And
yeah.
You were pregnant.
With Ella.
Pregnant with Ella. Propped up in a chair, like about to give birth while we were shooting the movie. Yeah. That was Ella, right?
That was Ella. Sheesh. Yeah.
So we surprised Ben with this 5-6 minute movie. It looks pretty good, but the production quality had jumped from the one that Ben had done at 5 a.m. So Ben said, oh, okay, you want to go up to the next level? So now the next movie Ben does.
Oh boy.
And let's just say there were helicopters in Ben's next movie.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, that was a huge surprise. You guys had call sheets because there's a whole behind the scenes. Tom Cruise appears in it. Kiefer Sutherland appears in it. Helicopters.
Oh, Ben went over the top.
It was
said,
a big,
oh,
huge birthday gift.
You think you're going to show me up with a? You
were looking to sleeping giant.
I got Tom Cruise in the next movie. And then it just went ballistic. There was a few of them that were just like not budget zero, but
no.
You know, Christine, one of the things that I always said, like, you know, that none of those ever got out.
And
you know why? Because it doesn't have to be that way. Like if you're around people that you trust, it can be,
right.
you can do things like that. And the big fear was always like, what if, just out of context, it would be like, these people are all crazy, you know?
Exactly.
And it never, ever, ever got out because everybody that had it, that was involved was trustworthy. And it was a tight knit group that could be trusted, you know,
made, you're absolutely right. We made DVDs. Like with cases and graphics.
I could upload those to YouTube
right now. Any of us could, right?
You could upload it to. I could upload that to YouTube. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But I always think back about that when it's like, oh, you know, every boat's gonna have a leak. I'm like,
doesn't have to.
Every boat has to have a leak.
You know, Soleil talked about that. How she had all the people she came up with on video, and she locked it away. And literally didn't open it for 20 years and was like, no one's going to see this footage of my friends unless it's me asking them to put this out there.
Right.
Well, and not only that, like I never even had that conversation with Soleil. Again, to go back, I'm like, I've known this girl for 30 years. I have to believe that whatever is in that movie is not, I trust her. I never even called to ask.
Right.
Never even called to ask. I just knew that she would not do anything to hurt me. You know?
Yeah, it all came from love. It came from so much love and reverence, you know.
Totally. By the way, I think Leo produced it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, she said they sat down and watched it together, and yeah, he was blown away.
Yeah.
But you started directing on your TV shows, which is always something, Christine. I always look back and like whenever there was a renegotiation, I should have just been like, I want to direct an episode because it took me years to make my first movie.
Well, but Kevin, did you always want to direct? Because, you know, did you guys both always want to direct, or was it just something that sort of being on a series gave you that opportunity?
I just think eventually and you start to develop other interests, right? It's like, I've been doing the same thing since I'm 6 years old. And by the way, acting is easy for me. Like I'll take a nap in my trailer. I don't know. It's like, especially obviously there's certain things that are more challenging, but for the most part, you know, even directing Unhappily Ever After, you know, remember you're in the booth calling out the camera shots.
Right.
So I would, you know, the sound stages are and the trucks are outside the soundstage. I would be in half the scene, leave, and by, you know, the second half of the scene, I'd be in the truck calling the shot. So it just, for me, it was just more the insanity of it was fun.
It's great training though, right? Amazing training.
Yeah, it was wild. I think I did like six of those. But it was difficult. And then, you know, I directed a couple episodes of Entourage, and that was really challenging, and it certainly took me a second to get used to. Remember the first time I did a scene with Adrian, after the scene he goes, can I talk to you? I go, yeah. He's like, I feel like you're judging me in the scene. I go,
you're wearing your director hat in the scene and you're not playing.
Camera's over my shoulder and I'm like,
oh God.
Trying to like
smile more.
Yeah. He's like, I can feel you judging me. And I was like, yeah, I think I might have been judging you heavily in that last take, but you're right. And I finally got the hang of it. You just got to go, listen, this is the top notch crew. It's in focus, you know, but it took a second to get into that zone where you didn't want to, in the middle of the scene, be like, move over.
Yeah, right, right.
Rotate him around on his mark a little bit. Stay right there. How's that look? Sorry, what were you saying? You know? But, you know, listen, and you know this, and Christine knows, it's 10 times the work, 100 times the work. And what goes into it, you lose a piece of yourself every time you direct something because you go so deep. Essentially put every relationship in your life at risk. You're just, it's all encompassing, you know? So you don't just do it I would never do it again unless I really wanted to do it. Mm. I would never just go, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'll direct that. Yeah. It has to be something you love that you're passionate about.
Really, really, really want to do it. Because if you're going to go do it for kicks, you're going to get blown out of the water.
Especially a film, you know, that could be 2 years of your life.
Right. And then you go, okay, what? And then at the end of the day, you know, so few of them now, right? I mean, now it's like, how do you get eyeballs on these things, right? There's so many, I don't know. There's so many, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah. What do you guys think? How do you feel about streaming?
From the viewer standpoint, greatest thing, because from a, you know, from the person who is looking for content or, you know what I mean? And, but I miss going to the theater. Like, I love a theater experience. I love when something comes out and it's a theater, like, you know, Mission Impossible over the summer, like those kinds of movies where you just really, but even if it's a little movie and it's playing somewhere in New York, you know, just some of those cool theaters have shut down even that would show the indie, like the Lincoln, you know, Plaza or whatever that would do the indie movies and stuff. So I miss that. I don't love, you know what I mean? I miss that so much. I mean, I think as an actor, you know, certainly having just gone through the whole strike, but I mean, it just felt, you know, listen, everybody would say, oh, there's so many more platforms. There's so many more jobs. It's like being an actor is hard. It's not like everybody's getting so much more work because in fact, most of the movie stars have moved to streaming platforms and television, which makes it even more challenging.
Well, the work that's been done in streaming, even television, going back 10 years, you know, from Breaking Bad all the way to like Severance, you know, these are as cinematic as any film I've ever seen, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing too. And, you know, let's face it, you know, when we grew up, our TVs were whatever. You know, it's like, you know, tiny. There's something to be said for I'll look at a movie and go, wow, that looks really cool. I can't wait to lay in bed and watch that on my 85-inch TV.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not, going to the Grove to fight. You know what I mean? No way.
No.
I'm going to the Grove to battle through that traffic.
The parking.
And park and all of it. Get there to half hour early, all of it.
$200 $200 to walk in the door. You're like, where are we? Could have went to the opera.
And you need a babysitter, right?
And I was going to say, and now as a new dad.
I know. I can't
not even new. Not even new anymore. It feels like a minute ago to me.
I know, but I'm trying to push long form on her. I'm really, really, really trying to get her to go for the long form. I can't wait for the day where I can say, hey, do you want to go to the movies? And she's like, yes, I want to see. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
She wants to go and sit there for 2 hours and watch it. I'll watch whatever. I can't wait. She's not there yet.
Yeah.
But I'm really pushing this Frozen thing. I'll tell you. I want her to get the concept of like, listen, you got to let the story unfold. There's not going to be a bunch of stuff happening in the beginning. You know, she's not there yet, right?
No. That takes a little time.
Till the princesses are running around, she's like bored with the opening title sequence, you know? So it'll come. It'll come.
It will come. It will come.
I can't wait.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us, they beat us, they burned us, and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin, let's go back to, first of all, how did Entourage come about? And you guys all seem, and I know obviously over the course of the show, but was that just a regular audition or did you have the inside track on that job? Like, you know, because you all seem like besties.
You want to hear something? Again, same thing, right? Hindsight is 20/20. That was a pilot, right? But, right. You know, we know how that goes. I've done a lot of pilots. It doesn't necessarily mean that pilot is going to get picked up. Right?
Yeah.
So, but it's
in
funny.
In fact, I'm officially a pilot killer. I've decided.
Right.
I heard that expression with someone recently and they said, no, I'm a pilot killer. Everybody, I was like, oh my God, I'm a pilot killer.
Right. No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I have more, wait, probably 10 pilots that never got picked up. Like I'm the death of a series.
I'm on the cusp. It's something to look at. It's something to look at. So after The Notebook, I was going to direct the movie Alpha Dog. Okay, which Nick Cassavetes ended up doing. And, you know, Nick and I had butted heads and whatever it was. But long story short, like at the end of it, I just said, Nick was like, you know, I'm going to direct it. I was like, you know what? Go ahead, direct it. I'm going to do this pilot, you know? And the pilot was Entourage.
Wait, Nick? Who directed
me? Nick Cassavetes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
But I wrote that script with him. We developed it and like, came down to it and he just took it over and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this pilot.
And, you know, and it was just, and Entourage was just something you had like, just had auditioned for. You just auditioned for.
No, they're these guys and Lasher Doug will tell you like, yeah, Connelly said he was retired from acting. It's like, no, Doug, I never said I was retired from acting. He's like, the guy retires, 30 years old, the guy retires from acting.
Oh, that's a good Doug Allen impression.
I was committed to doing this movie. Like, I, what was I supposed to do? Turn around and tell Nick, like, hey, man, sorry, I'm going to do a pilot? You know, right. They really wanted me to come in. And then finally, Wahlberg was like, I'm asking you as a favor to go in and sit with Doug and just talk to him. So I did that, and you know,
you were so perfect for that role. I remember that Christine, Doug is one of my oldest friends. We were roommates here.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I remember when he wrote it and he was casting it, and I remember sitting with Jeremy Piven. He was all excited about him, but Kevin Connolly was so much this character, right? And you had not an entourage, but you had a close group of friends that were all coming up together. You kind of lived it.
I understood the world to a certain, extent.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's funny because it's different because it really was Mark's world. I even had a reference for Mark's world because Christine, to your point, like we ran in parallel circles. We would sit at different tables. Mark and his friends would come in and sit at one table and we would be at the other table, but we always felt safe because we knew that nobody would ever let anybody fuck with us. So be like, all right, we're good, dude. Wahlberg and these guys are here. Nobody's getting made out. Nobody. We were always under their protection.
Protection,
you know, they were a little rough around the edges. I knew them. I knew Mark.
Right.
You know, I knew all those guys. So, you know, I was right for the role because initially it was like the very edgy, like tough guy. And it's like, listen, I don't know if we're going to have much of a show if the show is like you guys coming in and beating everybody up at the bar. Like we have to try to make them like likable characters.
Right. Did you wear your leather jacket for that?
I did not wear my leather jacket.
Your lucky leather.
I remember I was like, and then I said to Doug, asked Doug about this last show. I said to Doug, I was like, you know what? Now it's too built up. Now I don't want to read. I felt that way. Like at that point, I was like, you can't just get me the offer. I was like,
wait. They all begged you to do the show and then wanted you to then audition?
No, they just wanted to hear me say, they're like, I just have to hear you say it. I was like, ah, I don't know, man. Now it's so built up. I don't think. So I finally, because I also have bad anxiety. Like I can either, auditioning is terrible for me. But I remember sitting in the car and my agent was like, Kevin, listen, in 15 minutes, you're going to be back in your car driving home and you're never going to have to talk to any of those people ever again.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And then, well, he was wrong. But yeah, but that was, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in and I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to give it my best shot. You know?
Right. Detach yourself from the result and just.
Correct. And plus it's like people in there that you know, and like a couple of Mark's friends were in there, which is weird, but whatever.
What a life changing, like, listen, you had worked so much. You were so, like, you, people knew who you were. You had a name for yourself, but that job at that moment in time, how old were you at that point?
30, 31.
I was going to say like 29, 30. Like you were like, it flipped.
For everybody, like, listen, it's just sometimes it's just what's meant to be is meant to be, right?
Right.
And you don't, like I tell the story. So, I had a really, really, really bad experience with the Gotti movie, right? From top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it broke me. It's the worst thing I've ever been through. In my professional career.
All of it.
Just top to bottom, just it absolutely broke me. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And then like as they were getting ready to let it out, I knew what was gonna happen. And my agent was like, there's a show and called The Oath, shoots in Puerto Rico, it's a cop show, it's Sony, blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, love to jump on that. So
get me out of the country.
skipped town, went to Puerto Rico for 3 months, and I met my now partner and baby mama. So I had to go through that to find
it
her.
It was because of that.
And it's crazy to think that I would have to do it all over again to land it in the same spot. So at a time where you think like, I can't believe this, it lit quite literally, I was fleeing the country to like let the dust settle. And I met my, future wife and mother of my baby.
Amazing.
It's the sliding doors aspect of life that is so crazy. If you had decided to continue with the Nick movie and direct it and said no to Entourage, you'd be looking back over like, well, what did I do?
Or who knows?
Who knows? Like, right. Of course.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You just don't know, but you can never, you have to wait long term to see how some of these decisions will play themselves out, I guess, you know?
Listen, yes. I was along for the Entourage ride. I remember going to those premieres. It hit so hard. I mean, not like a network show where you got 20 million viewers, but it was in the zeitgeist more than anything I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun too. I mean, and listen, anytime you get to shoot in LA, so we're at a different restaurant, like we're shooting at Earth Cafe. Like, I don't even need to put my car in gear. I'll just roll down the hill. I mean, there will never be a better experience. You know, you could go on and have creative things, but in terms of that time and that age being on that show, I don't see how it could have been any better. It just flew by. You know, it's funny. I just got a text message from Adrian. He's got a thing. He's like in bed, stretched out. He's got this thing. I'm like, what was wrong? He's like, oh, it's a cavity, but he's getting dental work done. But it's the 20-year anniversary this year.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we want to try to get back together. I don't know, see what we can do, get everybody back together. You know, it's hard because you know how it goes, man. More than anything, just life gets in the way.
For everyone. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's just not like, oh, how close are you? I'm like, well, I'm as close as a 50-year-old man with a baby can be to another middle-aged man that lives in Ohio.
I will tell you this, though. I have a question for you from my nephew, Ethan. Ethan Bate, who's a sophomore at University of Wisconsin at Madison. And when I've gone to New York and I was working there, I sleep in his bed because he's at Owyhee College. There's a giant Entourage poster just hanging. I go to sleep to your face. And he and his college buddies live for the show, right? 19-year-old college students.
Yeah, I think that's a pandemic thing. Maybe it came back during people being shut in and
binging it. Yeah.
Like, yeah. People talk about it. I'm like, yeah, how old are you? You know what I mean? No one caught a second. If they ever release that on Netflix, It would explode on Netflix.
He wanted me to ask you that the camaraderie and the friendship between the four of you seemed so real. Were you guys very close during the filming of the show? And are you guys still tight to this day? That's what
absolutely. You know, I mean, and you know, you got to remember, all of us were. I mean, Kevin Dillon had done a bunch of stuff, but we were.
Kevin Dillon is standing behind you. He's been standing there the whole interview.
Yes, and he's not moving.
He's not moving.
He doesn't say much.
Kevin Dillon cutout.
Loosen up, dude.
His back hurts.
No, but Kevin had been done a ton of work.
Right, but we were all experiencing this rapid wave of like success together.
And fame.
Right. And it was, so we have this sort of weird bond, like we have this kind of bond because we went through something sort of extreme together, you know? Like I can remember Adrian say, I remember calling Adrian, inviting him to this club. And I was like, he's like, how do I get in? I said, just walk right up and say that you want to come in. He's like,
I can do that?
What a crazy idea.
Yeah. All right. And then he comes in, he's like, yeah, it worked. Yeah, I walked up. Let me write it. Just those kinds of things we all kind of, you know, and Dillon had been a little bit older and tells a great story about when they were doing Platoon. Tom Berenger gathered everybody together and he said, hey, he wants you guys to all look around and smell the roses because this is special and they're not all going to be like this. So enjoy every second of it. And Kevin Dillon said that to us like early on in season one, you know? So to have Kevin's, you know, Kevin was always, you know, kind of a quiet sort of leader. But yeah, we got along well. And there was never, ever any competition between any of us ever, which is the other. We always stuck together in negotiations. So everybody made the same amount of money.
And you all had well-developed characters. You all had your own material.
Doug was great about making sure that everybody had their. You were never worried about like where your character, you always knew.
It was equitable. You would all have something.
Everybody was going to get their at bats, and you know, it was great. I mean, you know, we did 8 seasons in a movie, you know, so who knows?
Crazy. You know, we interviewed a couple of the cast members of 90210, and they all talk about that as well. Is like, no matter, like, when you collectively as a cast go through something that huge
together,
you are forever bonded. Like they will, whether they've had, you know, arguments or fights or in and out, it doesn't matter. They're family forever and will show up for any one of them will show up for the other one because they've just experienced something no one could understand. And they're the ones doing it.
Yeah. There's only a certain thing that only the three of them could understand. I mean, Piven is his own. Guy's an animal, right?
Is eccentric.
Guy's an absolute animal. Yeah, he's eccentric. No, and by the way, I always got along with Piven. Piven, you know, listen, man, guy won 3 Emmys in a row.
Yeah,
he pitched a perfect game. You know, he was world class.
I mean, talk about a character being perfect for a character.
Yes, yeah,
world class.
He needed a little extra time to like look at his mini sides and get into character. I was always there for it. I always thought, you know, that was a separate experience unto itself. But watching him do that was special as well. And he's a little nutty, but he's a good actor, man. And he carried us.
He's always been good.
His walking and talking and dialogue is just rapid fire dialogue was so intense. I mean, I know like Julian was a phenomenal director and Doug did such a great job, but he brought this thing to life that, you know, you do a take and it's like, and you're walking through the office, he's doing a million different actions. It's really, not many people could do that.
Yeah, no, there was a lot going on. But, and you know, also, like you said, Doug and quite frankly, the crew, you know, like you don't just move around like that.
Right, totally.
Without people that know what they're doing. You know, that show is very heavily prepped and a lot of work went into that. So there's 96 episodes. Like I said, I hope it hits. I want it to hit Netflix. By the way, let's talk about what does that mean for streaming money? What's that look like? What's this new contract look like?
What is this?
Yeah,
new,
yeah,
look what did we just ratify?
Contract look like?
I think you get a penny per hour stream.
I was going to say, I should hold off on purchasing a new object or a new item.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your podcast. Are you guys still this, your podcast?
Well, no, you have a whole company, right? Action Park. Yeah.
Tell us about it. So it's a network of podcasts, right? So the idea really comes from being able to get a jump on IP, right? So it's so hard to, listen, if you pick up a book at the bookstore and you go, this is amazing. Believe me, that book got optioned before it was a book. It was just a manuscript.
It was an idea.
It's hard to somebody buys it when it's an idea. So it's really hard to get your hands. So podcast was the cheapest way to kind of create sort of content that you could kind of go out and
sell.
So
this is your platform. It's and it is called what?
Action Park Media.
Action Park Media. But then Victory Podcast is under that umbrella. Okay.
So we have a bunch of stuff under the umbrella. But, you know, it's like even that has changed. When we first started, this wasn't necessary, the Zoom part, right? Now you have to have a video component. You have to have it. You know what I mean? It used to be, you just talk into the mic, cut the audio together, and you throw it up there. Now you need it for the show. It's like it just keeps evolving and it gets crazier and crazier. And I know this is the obvious, but the AI of it. Everybody's out of work. Everybody's out of work.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing cuts social clips. Like, how would they know? How could that computer know to cut that? It's really a trip.
AI will figure out what clip will resonate most.
So we could take this episode, you could run it through an AI thing and they'll suggest clips.
No way.
They'll suggest and they will make them. And they will give you your description and they will do all that stuff like that. It's instant. Yeah. Yep, it's wild.
Why don't we have Kevin edit this episode and let's see
what I tell people too, listen, you have to learn how to start making the AI work for you.
Right.
Meaning like, use it because you'll be better at whatever it is that you're doing if you're using the AI, whatever it is that you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
You have to use the AI. So.
Right. I think the fear of it that people have of like, oh, I don't want it. But then there's just the reality that we're so far there already. Right. Like it's more than we could ever know.
I fear it too. I'm going to be using it because that'll
terrified. Right. Yes. I want to have my head in the sand, but otherwise like lean in and start to use it to know. I mean, yeah, I think
you
like
gotta
with
learn
schools.
Do you guys have ChatGPT?
We've done it for fun, stupid things.
You should get it. Your ChatGPT will know you. Do you understand that? So if I talk to my ChatGPT like it's my therapist, seriously, but now my ChatGPT knows. So if I have a question about the company, I don't have to anymore say hi. So I have this company. It's called this and that. It now knows that.
Yeah.
So when I say, hey, do you think this is a good idea? It knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. And so having a personal advisor who's smarter than anyone you've ever met, just right with you.
Yep. And I also say please and thank you to my AI.
Good for you. See, your mom taught you well.
No. That's not why. I think you just need to be young. I think it's just better to be polite to the old AI. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's better to be polite in general. Yeah, but what makes me scared is like... I mean, I don't even
have
scared.
To be nice to them.
Well, kind of, but also like I guess not me personally, but I look at like these messages that go out to the school kids, and it's like we will know if you now for paper writing, college applications, you know, it's like how much will kids lean in and cheat and all of it, which you know, part of it is what kids do anyway. It's just now a new sort of calibration of it.
I have people here that couldn't string two sentences together, and all of a sudden they're like handing me these. Like, I'm like, oh, ChatGPT this one, did you? No, I wrote that. No, you didn't. You didn't even close to write it. You typed it in, and then they wrote it out for you.
Because you know the person's intelligence level is not matching.
Now you're Shakespeare. Yes. Over there, right? You're writing.
I see that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I actually take great pride in going, that person ChatGPT that little summary right there. I mean,
you
it's
can
so
spot
obvious.
It. You spot
gotta
it.
Get in there, try to add your own lingo, but
yeah.
Oh, we got to get this, Christine. We got to have our own personal AI.
I got to get personal.
I love that Kevin's polite to the thing because it could be like Hal in 2001. All of a sudden, he's like, I can't do that, Kevin.
Well, all of a sudden, like, you've just been a jerk for all these years to me, just saying bad things to me. You know, it takes 2 seconds to write please and thank you. I like to be nice to my AI.
There's a movie idea, like a personal AI that goes rogue, like a modern day 2001.
I'm sure there's 50 of those, right?
Like we said, it's already been bought. That was just your idea that was birthed here, David. It's already been bought and it's being
made. Well, there's 12 versions of that in turnaround right now.
Oh, Kevin, we have to start to wrap up because we got to let you go. And I could do this forever with you. And I want to give you a giant bear hug in person because I miss you so much.
Any other time you guys want to, you need a guest? Got a whole.
Great.
Call me up. I'm happy to jump on as an advisor, a third advisor.
Yeah. Dude, this has been great.
I'll jump
this
in the seat chair.
Oh,
well, I
thank
love
you.
So thank you,
you
very
man.
Much. And
love
I mean
you
it.
So
you guys,
much.
You guys ever need anything from me, let me know. Don't hesitate.
You're the bestest.
Thank All you, right. Kevin.
We'll see you soon. Guys. Okay.
Bye. Good.
I just love him so much.
That went so fast.
So fast.
Right? We had so much to talk about. But yeah, he's always been such an amazing guy.
And see, he's just real. He's salt of the earth. He's so charismatic. I mean, I do remember like that period of time where he was tortured by this breakup and it was horrible.
By what?
By the breakup. The Nikki breakup. And it was, and also, you know, he talked a little bit about Entourage and how the characters were written pretty rough around the edges. And Kevin was always like, he was ready to get into it with someone if they wanted to.
I've seen
like,
Kevin in action and he is one of the toughest
scrappiest?
People I know. He's not scared of anyone.
No. And
but wait, what is the story? The Nikki story is that he was doing a show with her, playing his sister.
Yeah,
and
they
Bob
worked together.
Bobcat Goldplace did the voice of the puppet.
Yes, they all worked on the show together, and Nikki and Kevin were dating, and Kevin found out that Nikki was essentially dating Bobcat.
Like, why are they all working together?
It obviously was a summer thing that happened, and she was probably waiting to tell him, but the paparazzi caught a shot.
Oh, goodness.
And it was horrible. Awful for him. But he's just really, like, just one of the dearest. Like, when I tell you, and we talked about those home movies, and I know my brother's listening to this. He listens to every single one of them. And Brian knows, like, we have
this
collection.
I'll say this. You said Brian's not an actor, but he has movie star good looks. He's always had.
Oh, Brian, listen to that.
That's for you, Brian.
He's
miss you,
the best. But yeah, we try to watch those movies like once every year or two. We pull them out and watch it. And it's just like a trip down memory lane. And yeah. Maybe I'll show you one day, David.
Yes, what a I had no idea. He and Ben were competing to make better little
God.
Home movies.
Well, it's so funny because I had no idea that was the dynamic. But Kevin obviously felt Ben's like, all right, we're going into we're doing a budget now.
Oh, it's
I'll give
on
you
now.
A budget.
I got Tom Cruise coming in helicopters,
oh,
dude.
God.
But
so
Kevin
funny.
Is actor, director, entrepreneurial, just an impressive guy and a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah. So great. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. And we will have maybe a little surprise holiday episode coming up, maybe.
I hope so. I hope we can book this. Yeah.
It's in the works. A little fun. Because normally most podcasts don't do a holiday, like over the holidays don't record. But we're going to, we might have some fun holiday themed guests, right?
If it works out, it'll.
If not, you'll just get to hear us wishing you a happy holiday next week.
No, we're going to get these people. It's yes. going to put smiles on a lot of faces. So thank you for listening. Have a great week leading up to the holidays.
Yes. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.